Part 4 of the instruments that God will use to bring Antichrist to his ruin. Although I have hinted at this before, yet it may be convenient briefly to touch upon it again. Antichrist, as I have told you, consisteth of soul and body, and must be destroyed by such instruments as may most properly be applied to each. Further, as to the soul, spirit, or life of Antichrist, and its destruction, of that we have also spoken already. It remains then that now we discourse of the ruin of his body and of his flesh. I then take it that the destruction of her flesh shall come by the sword, as managed in the hands of kings, who are God's ministers for the punishment of evil deeds, and the praise of them that do well, Romans chapter 13. Not that the church, even as a church, shall be quite exempt, and have therein no hand in it at all, or she, even as such, shall with her faith and prayers help forward that destruction. The church, therefore, as a church, must use such weapons as are proper to her as such. And the magistrate, as a magistrate, must use such weapons as are proper to him as such. When the Church of Israel were prisoners in Babylon, they did not fight their way through their foes and the countries to Jerusalem, but rather they waited in their captivated state with patience until the kings of the Medes and the Persians came to deliver them. Nor is it to be slighted, but to be thought on seriously, that before there was an Israelite captive in Babylon, their deliverer Cyrus was prophesied of, which Cyrus did afterwards come and take Babylon and deliver the captives, as it was foretold he should. He saith unto Cyrus, quote, "He is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, Thou shalt be built, and to the temple, Thy foundation shall be laid." Close quote. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 28. And again, quote, "Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, etc. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward, thus saith the Lord of hosts." Close quote. That's Isaiah chapter 45, verses 1 and 13. And this accordingly he did, to wit, when the time was come, as may be seen in those holy records where these things are made mention of. Indeed, as I said, the church is not excluded, 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 2. She may, and ought, with her faith and prayer and holy life, to second this work of kings, Ezra chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Wherefore, when God speaks of bringing down the lofty city, and of laying it low in the dust by the church, he saith, "They shall do it by their feet and with their steps." Quote, "The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor, and of the steps of the needy." Close quote. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 6. By feet and steps, I understand the good lives of the children of God. But now, when kings come to deal with her, as kings, they serve her as Samuel served Agag, as a judge, quote, "cut her in pieces with their swords," close quote. Or, as you have it elsewhere, quote, "they make her desolate and naked. They eat her flesh and burn her with fire," close quote. the sword will be put into their hands for this very purpose. Thus, therefore, must their deliverance be begun. It is also to be considered that after these first kings of the Medes and Persians had broken the yoke of the king of Babylon from off the neck of the captive church, and had given her license to go to build or to go to her place to build her temple and city, and to sacrifice there according to the law of their God, as both in Ezra and Nehemiah we read, and when their work was hindered by under officers, or they endeavored so to do, they pleaded the license that they received to build and sacrifice by the decree of the first kings, and so finished their deliverance. They went not on in headstrong manner, as if they regarded neither king nor Caesar. Quote, but Zerubbabel and Joshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, close quote, that sought to hinder their work, quote, ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God, but we ourselves will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us, close quote. That's Ezra chapter 4, verse 3. And as they said, so also they did, quote, the elders of the Jews built, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, the son of Iddo. And they built and finished it, according to the commandment of the God of Israel, and according to the commandment of Cyrus, and Darius, and Artaxerxes, king of Persia, close quote. Ezra chapter 6, verse 14. Yea, they did not only accept of the kindness of kings, but did acknowledge that kindness with thanksgiving, as a gift of the God of heaven. For the kings had commanded and given leave to the Jews to go to Jerusalem to build their temple and to do sacrifice there, according to the counsel of the priests that were at Jerusalem, and according to the law of God that they had in their hand. Ezra chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. For Artaxerxes sent Ezra the priest to inquire after the condition that Jerusalem and Judah was in, according to or by the law of God that was in his hand. And that's verse 14. And he had license also further to do with the king's silver and gold, which he gave of the service of the house of the Lord, quote, according to the will, word, or law of, and Bunyan capitalizes the word, his God, close quote, quote, and thou, Ezra, says the king, after the wisdom of thy God, that is, after his word, that is in thine hand, set magistrates and judges, which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, all such as know the laws of thy God, and teach ye them that know them not. And whosoever will not do the law of thy God, that is, worship and walk by the rule of his testament, and the law of the king, that is, shall refuse to give Ezra such things as by the king was appointed for Ezra's help in the furthering of the worship of God according to the law of his God, let judgment be executed speedily upon him, whether it be unto death or to banishment, or to confiscation of goods, or to imprisonment, close quote. It's Ezra chapter 7, verses 25 and 26. This was therefore a wonderful, gracious license that the king now gave to Ezra. He imposed nothing upon him or the Jews in matters of religion and worship, but left him and them completely to the law, will, and word of God. Only, he laid check upon wicked and ungodly people, that if they did things contrary to the laws of Ezra's God, or did slight the king's law, as aforesaid, that then such penalties and pains should be inflicted upon them. To the same purpose was the decree of Cyrus and that of Darius, to put it into execution. Also, the penalty enacted against such offenders was full, as sharp and severe, quote, also I have made a decree, said the king, that whosoever shall alter this word, let timber be pulled down from his house, and being set up, let him be hanged thereon, and let his house be made a dunghill for this. And the God that hath caused his name to dwell there, destroy all kings and people that shall put to their hand to alter and to destroy this house of God which is at Jerusalem. I, Darius, have made a decree. Let it be done with speed. Close quote. Ezra chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. Indeed, sometimes a stop was put to this work by the kings, and the Jews were made to cease by force and power. Ezra chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. The which the good people did bear with patience. Ezra chapter 4, verses 11 through 21. Also they waited to see their God go before them among the kings, who at length took away Artaxerxes, who for a time had put a stop to the work, and brought in another, who gave leave that with speed it should be set on foot again. And that's Ezra chapter 5. The Jews did also in these vacancies, or times in the which hindrances were put, they did in these vacancies carry it very tenderly and lovingly to those kings that at present they were under, submitting of their bodies and their goods to their will, and meekly endured the trial and affliction, serving them with all faithfulness, watching to save their lives from the hands of bloody men. Also, when the king's laws and the law of their God did at any time come in competition, they would indeed adhere to and do the law of their God. Yet, with that tenderness to the king, his crown and dignity, that they could at all times appeal to the righteous God about it. And that's Daniel chapter 6, verse 22. Nor did they lose by so doing. Yea, they prospered. Well, for by this means Mordecai was made a great man and a savior of his people. Esther chapter 2, verses 21 through 23. By this means also was Daniel made a great man and helpful to his brethren. Daniel chapter 5, verse 29. Kings, I say, must be the men that must go down with Antichrist, and they shall down with her in God's time. God hath begun to draw the hearts of some of them from her already, and he will set them in time against her round about. If therefore they do not that work so fast as we would have them, let us exercise patience and hope in God. Quote, "'Tis a wonder that they go so fast as they do, since the concerns of the whole kingdom lie upon their shoulders, and that there are so many Sanballats and Tobiases to flatter with them and misinform them concerning the people that are delivered but in part." See what an ugly account was given of Jerusalem by the enemies of the Jews, even then when they were in the hands of their deliverers. Quote, "Be it known unto the king that the Jews, which came up from thee to us, are come unto Jerusalem, building their rebellious and bad city, and have set up the walls thereof, and joined the foundations. Be it known now unto the king that if this city be built, and the walls set up again, then will they not pay toll, tribute, and custom. And so thou shalt in damage the revenue of the kings." Close quote. Ezra chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Be it known. Be it known is here. But were not these gentlemen more afraid of losing their own places and preferments than of the king's losing of his toll and custom? Well, but the whole was a lie, though it hindered the work for a time, and the patience of the people, and their loyalty to the king, did conquer and overcome all. I speak more to this because, as I have said, I believe that by magistrates and powers we shall be delivered and kept from Antichrist, and because God has already begun to do it by such, by which also she shall be destroyed. I have a few things to present to good men to be conversant in such a day as this. Let the king have truly a place in your hearts, and with heart and mouth give God thanks for him. He is a better savior of us than we may be aware of, and may have delivered us from more deaths than we can tell how to thank. We are bidden to, quote, give thanks to God for all men, and in the first place for kings and all that are in authority, close quote. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Be not angry with them, no, not in thy thought, but consider, if they go not on in the work of reformation so fast as thou wouldst they should, the fault may be thine. Know that thou also hast thy cold and chill frames of heart, and sittest still when thou shouldst be up and doing. Pray for kings to the God of heaven, who has the hearts of kings in his hand, and do it, quote, without wrath and doubting, close quote. Without wrath, because thyself is not perfect, and without doubting, because God governs them, and has promised to bring down Antichrist by them. Pray for the long life of the king. Pray that God would always give wisdom and judgment to the king. Pray that God would discover all plots and conspiracies against his person and government. Pray also that God would make him able to drive away all evil and evil men from his presence, and that he may be a greater countenancer than ever of them that are holy and good. And wait and believe that God has that has begun his quarrel with Babylon, Antichrist, the mother of Antichrist, the whore, would in his own time and in his own way bring her down by the means which he has appointed. I do confess myself one of the old-fashioned professors that covet, quote, to fear God and honor the king, close quote. I also am for blessing of them that curse me, for doing good to them that hate me, and for praying for them that despitefully use me and persecute me, and have had more peace in the practice of these things than all the world are aware of. And I only say this because I would show my brothers that I also am one of them, and to set them right that have wrong thoughts of me as to so weighty matters as these. Number 15. Now these things, whose hearts God shall set to destroy Antichrist, shall do it without those inward reluctancies that will accompany inferior men. They shall be stripped of all pity and compassion. Hence they are compared to the mighty waves of the sea, Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 42, which saith, when the wrecked and dying mariners cry out for mercy for themselves and for their children, I am a sea. Quote, I travail not, nor bring forth children, neither do I nourish up young men, nor bring up virgins, close quote. Isaiah chapter 23, verses 4 and 5. I have therefore no pity for these or for any of them. Therefore they must be swallowed up of the sea, and sink like a stone in the midst of these mighty waters. And thus much for the means by which God will destroy the body and flesh of Antichrist. Of the causes of the ruin of Antichrist. Although the causes of the ruin of Antichrist be to some conspicuous enough, yet to some they may be otherwise. Yea, and will to all kings and people whose eyes shall be held, that they may be not see the judgment in the reasonableness and equitableness thereof, and that these shall wail when they see, quote, the smoke of her torment, close quote. And these shall cry, alas, alas. Revelation chapter 18, verse 10. Wherefore, for further edification, as I have treated of the man of sin already, so will I now of the causes of his downfall. And the first cause. First, he must be down, for that he hath usurped and taken the name and attributes of God upon himself. He hath said, quote, I am God, close quote. He hath set in the temple of God, quote, showing himself that he is God, close quote. Yea, and in that in contempt and scorn of any other, quote, exalting himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, close quote. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Yea, hath cried down all gods but himself. Wherefore it must needs be that he be brought to judgment, that the truth of his saying may be proved. For this cause he is threatened under the name of the prince of Tyrus. Quote, because thine heart is lifted up, saith the Lord, and thou hast said, I am a God, therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am a god? But thou shalt be a man, and no god, in the hand of him that slayeth thee, close quote. That's Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 2, and also verses 7 through 9. If God will not give his name or glory to another, be sure he will not be under another. But this to have and thus to do, Antichrist has attempted. But how? In that he has been so bold as to prescribe and impose a worship besides and without reverence of that which God has prescribed and imposed. For to do this is to make one's self a god. Quote, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or the likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Close quote. For he that thus doth is an idolater, and he that these things doth impose is one that shows himself a god. But this doth Antichrist do, and, quote, 'tis worth the noting that God forbids not only images, but the likeness of anything, books, altars, fancies, imaginations, or anything in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, to bow down to, or to make them a means to worship or come to God by, if he has not commanded nor tolerated them in his holy word. Thus saith the Lord. And I am the Lord is the stamp, the seal, and sign of all true rules of worship. And therefore it is so often repeated both in Moses and in the prophets, where God commands worship to be performed and imposeth the means and methods of it. Now this, thus saith the Lord, Antichrist has rejected. And I am the Lord, he hath assumed to himself. And therefore, without the law, the word and commandment, hath framed and imposed a worship. He's talking about the Mass. Exalted himself in the temple of God, although he is but the man of sin, above all that is called God, that is worshipped. nor is he in this his so foul effect without them that adore. Adoration. Worship his image and wonder after him. Yea, he hath got by this means almost the entire world to himself, who say, quote, who is like unto the beast? Who's able to make war with him? Close quote. Revelation chapter 13, verse 4. And that they might show their resolvedness to stand by him, they receive his mark in their forehead, or in their hand. His mark, that is, they either openly or seriously become his disciples, and worship him according to the rules, methods, and ways that he hath prescribed. Wherefore, these with him are also to drink of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. Quote, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, this same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Close quote. That's Revelation chapter 14, verses 9 and 10. But I say, for that Antichrist hath thus taken the place of God, or vicar of Christ, prescribed and imposed a worship as a god, got the world to worship and wonder after him as after a god. Therefore shall he die the death of the uncircumcised, both in the soul, spirit, body, or flesh of Antichrist. Therefore will God enlighten and gather and set the kings and nations against him, that both he and his may be buried and have their dulcome withdrawing rooms from the world in the sides of the pit's mouth. Second cause. Secondly, Antichrist must be destroyed because he hath set himself against the Son of God, against the Father, and against the Son. He had a spite against the Son betimes, even then when he came forth, but in little bits, when he attempted to deny that he was come in the flesh. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. But seeing he could make no earnings of that, he hath changed his methods, and seeks to run him out and down by other means and ways, because therefore he hath set himself against the Son of God, the King. Therefore, he must die. That he hath set himself against the Son of God is also evident, for he hath his name from thence. He is therefore called Antichrist. That he hath set himself against him is yet further evident, for that he hath endeavored to take from him his headship over, and his offices for, and in the church, which is his body. He hath plainly endeavored to be the head, for that he hath striven to take his wife from him, and to cause that she should be called his. Yea, he hath endeavored by all inventions to prostrate her to his lusts, to deflower her, and to make her an adulteress. He has been worse than Pharaoh, who took Abraham's wife, Genesis chapter 12, and worse than Abimelech, who lusted after Isaac's, Genesis chapter 26. Yea, worse than Phaltai, who run away with David's, 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 44. For as much as she is higher, beloved better, and cost more than did any of these, would it not be counted a high affront for a base inferior fellow to call himself the head of the queen? Yet thus has Antichrist done. And worse, he has called himself the head of the universal church of God. And as he has attempted to be head in his stead, so to be king, priest, and prophet. First, he has attempted to wrest, that's W-R-E-S-T, wrest his scepter and kingdom from him, and that he hath endeavored to thrust himself into his throne, which is the heart and the conscience of his people. The heart and conscience is that which Christ claimeth for his own proper and peculiar seat. Quote, "My son, give me thy heart," close quote. Quote, "that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith," close quote. It's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. In this, therefore, the church is not to be for another man. So will he be for her. But this throne Antichrist has lusted for, attempted to take, and made war with Christ and his church, because they would not yield up to him this glorious throne of his. Therefore, he must die. Secondly, he hath intruded upon the priestly office of Christ, and hath called himself high priest, though the Lord hath said, quote, "Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no more priest to me. Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children," close quote. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. But he will make himself a priest. He hath invented sacrifices for the quick and the dead. He hath put, as he presumes, merit and worth into these sacrifices. He hath commanded that those that worship should have faith in and expect benefit by these sacrifices, although he offereth to his God nothing else but the flesh of the hog and of the mouse, with the broth of his abominable things. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 17. Many and sundry ways he hath set himself up to be high priest, though God knows no high priest but one. Though the church ought to know no high priest but one. Yea, though no high priest but one can approach God's mercy seat to do for us the necessary and desired work. Thirdly, he hath intruded upon the prophetical office of Jesus Christ. What else means his pretenses to infallibility? Number 16. And this too, when he imposes unwritten verities, abominable traditions, blasphemous rites and ceremonies, and forbids or dispenseth with the holy commands of God, yea, when he enforceth these his Omrian statutes and doth impose the works of the house of Ahab, Micah chapter 6, verse 16, he doth in all the name of the Lord Christ, when he himself hath set himself in his place and in his room. This is mystery Babylon, the mystery of iniquity. This is Antichrist's soul and body, and as such must be destroyed. But third cause. Third, Antichrist must be destroyed because he hath blasphemed against the Holy Ghost and so set himself above the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and against all that is called God. The Holy Ghost is that Spirit of truth that Christ has promised to give unto his church, to help her in the understanding of his holy word, and to enable her to believe and walk humbly and holily before God and man. The Spirit of Antichrist is that Spirit of error that hath puffed up the false church into a conceit of herself and unscriptural worship, and that hath made this false church, which is his body, to ascribe all the horrible things and acts thereof to the wisdom, guidance, directions, or operations of the Holy Ghost. As, number one, in all her unscriptural councils, assemblies, and convocations, they blasphemously feather what they do upon the Holy Ghost, and make him the inventor and approver thereof. Number two, she also blasphemeth the Holy Ghost in accusing and condemning the Holy Scriptures of insufficiency. For that she saith, though it is a rule, yet but an imperfect one, one deficient, one that is not able to make the man of God perfect in all things, without the traditions, inventions, and blasphemous helps of anti-Christian wisdom. Number three, she hath also blasphemed the Holy Ghost in that she hath set up her own church government, offices, and discipline, none of all which is the Church of Christ directed to by the wisdom of the Spirit of God in His Testament. Number four, she hath also sinned against the Holy Ghost in that she hath, as it were, turned the Holy Ghost out of doors, in concluding that he, without the works of the flesh, is not sufficient to govern the hearts of worshipers in the service and worship of God. Number five, she hath also thus sinned, in that she hath wrought many lying miracles in the face of the world, and imposed them upon her disciples for the confirming of her errors and blasphemous opinions, to the confronting of the true miracles wrought by the Holy Ghost, and also to the concluding that there was an insufficiency in those that were true, to confirm the truth without the addition of hers, which she has wrought by the power of Satan and by the spirit of delusion, only to confirm her lies. Number six, she hath sinned against the Holy Ghost in that she hath, with Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, striven against the judgments wherewith God hath punished her, to call her back from her wicked way, and persisted therein, to the effectual proving of herself to be the lewd woman. 2 Kings chapter 13, verses 4 through 7, verse 23 and verse 24. Number 7. She hath sinned by laboring to hide all her wickedness by lies, dissimulations, and filthy equivocations of her priests, friars, Jesuits, etc. I say, her laboring to hide the wickedness that she hath committed against kings, countries, nations, kingdoms, and people. She hath hid these things by the means or persons made mention of before, as by the tail, for they indeed are the tail of the beast that cover his most filthy parts. The prophet that speaketh lies, he is the tail. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 15. But, fourthly, Antichrist must be destroyed for the horrid outrage and villainous murders that she hath committed upon the bodies of the saints. For there is none, as to these things, for cruelty, to be compared with the church of Antichrist and her followers. For upon whom hath not her cruelty been showed, have they never so little stood in her way, though never so innocently and honestly by so doing, stood to the truth and verity of God? Yea, the promoting of her own superstition, idolatry, and blasphemous rites and ceremonies have been so pursued by her, that she has waded through a sea of innocent blood for the accomplishment thereof. The poor church of God is a sensible, bleeding witness of this, and so has been for hundreds of years together. Witness the chronicles of all nations where she hath had to do, yea, and the sackcloth and ashes and tears and widows and fatherless children and their cries, of all which the holy word of God is a sufficient confirmation, quote, and in her, close quote. When God shall come to make inquisition for blood, quote, will be found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth, close quote. Revelation chapter 18, verse 24. And yet has she such a whore's forehead, such a blindness in her judgment, and such an hard and obdurate heart, that it is not possible she should ever repent. Murders have been so natural to her, and in them her hand has been so exercised, that it has now become a custom, a trade, a pastime to her, to be either in the act or laying some foundation for murders. Witness those plots, designs, conspiracies, and frequent attempts that are, one or other of them, continually on foot in the world for the commission of murders. Nay, the text last mentioned seems to import that blood is so natural to her that she sticketh not at any condition, sex, age, or degree, so she may imbrue her hands in blood. In her was found the blood of saints and prophets, and of all other carnal, natural, ignorant, graceless men that have been slain upon the earth. It is she that sets kings and kingdoms at variance. It is she that sets parents and children at variance by her abuse of the word of our Lord and Christ. And besides, is it not easy, if we do but consider those bloody massacres that have been committed by her hand, both in France, Ireland, Piedmont, and in several places besides, without wronging of her, to conclude that the blood of thousands have not known their right hand from their left in religion, hath been shed to quench, if it might have been, her insatiable thirst after blood. Therefore, for these things shall she be judged, as women that shed blood are judged, because she is an adulteress, and blood is in her hands. Ezekiel chapter 23, verse 45. She hath been as a beast of prey, nay, worse, for they do but kill and tear for the hunger of themselves and of their whelps. But she, to satisfy her wanton and beastly lusts, quote, they have cast lots for my people, saith God, and hath given a boy for an harlot, and sold a girl for wine, that they might be drunk, close quote. Joel chapter 3, verse 3. And therefore must Antichrist be destroyed. Forbearance is no payment. God's patience is not a sign that he forgetteth to take vengeance, but rather that he waiteth till his own are come out of her, and until her iniquity is filled up. For then he will execute the judgment written, and will remember, as has been said, the Babylonians and all their ways. Fifth cause. Fifthly, Antichrist must be destroyed, because she hath put out of order and confounded the rule and government that God has set up in the world. I say she has put it out of order and confounded it in all places where she rules, so that it cannot accomplish the design of him that ordained it, to wit, to be a terror to evil works and a praise to them that do well. Wherefore we read that those horns, or kings, where mystery Babylon sitteth, are upon the heads of that beast that carrieth her, which beast is her protector. Magistracy is God's ordinance appointed for the good of society and for the peace and safety of those that are good. But this Antichrist has, where she rules, put all out of order. And no wonder, for she has befuddled the word of God. No wonder then, I say, if the foundations of the world be out of course. Quote, 'Tis she that hath turned the sword of the magistrate against those that keep God's law. 'Tis she that has made it the ruin of the good and virtuous, and a protection to the vile and to the base. Wherefore, when the Holy Ghost tells us that the time is coming in which God will count with the bloody-minded for the murders that they have committed, he in a manner doth quite excuse the magistrate, saying, quote, woe to the bloody city, it is full of lies and robbery, the prey departeth not. Close quote. The noise of a whip, the noise of the rattling of the wheels, and of the prancing horses, and of the jumping chariots. The horseman lifteth up both the bright sword and the glittering spear, and there is a multitude of slain, and a great number of carcasses, and there is no end of their corpses. They stumble upon their corpses. Close quote. Nahum, chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. But what is the cause of all this slaying, and the reason of this abundance of corpses? Why, it is because of the unsatiable thirst of the bloody city after blood. And, quote, because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts, that selleth nations through her whoredoms, and families through her witchcrafts, close quote. It's Nahum chapter 3, verse 4. But doth this bloody city spill this blood by herself simply, as she is the adulterated whore? No! This church has found out a trick, that is to say, to quarrel with Christ in his members, and to persuade the powers where she rules to set ensnaring laws to catch them, and to execute the same upon them. Thus, when the synagogue of Satan of old had taken Christ and accused him, they made Pontius Pilate to condemn and hang him. But God has begun to show to some of the kings this wickedness, and has prevailed with them to, and Bunyan capitalizes this word, protest, capitalize the word protest, has prevailed with him to protest against her. And in the meantime, for those that are yet in the bed of love with her, the Holy Ghost doth, in the text last mentioned, and in Revelation chapter 18, verse 24, much excuse them for the blood that they have shed, and for the injuries that they have done to his people, because they have not done it of their mere inclinations, nor in the prosecution of their office, but rather through the whoredoms and witchcrafts of this well-favored harlot, who hath with false doctrines, false promises, and causeless curses prevailed upon them to do it. And they have done it, rather, of fear than favor. Some indeed have more doted upon her beauty, and have more thoroughly been devoted to her service. But they also had not that aptness to do so of themselves, but have been forced to it by the power of her enchantments. Therefore, I say, the main guilt shall be laid at her door, for that she in chief has deserved it. Quote, Son of man, says God, take up a lamentation for the princes of Israel, close quote. Why? Well, because their mother, the church, was at that time adulterated, and become a lioness, had lain down with the heathen, and so brought forth young lions, that is, rulers, close quote. And she brought up one of her whelps when it became a young lion, and it learned to catch the prey. It devoured men, Ezekiel chapter 19, verses 1 through 3. It learned. It learned. But of who? But of its dam, or of the lioness to whom she had put it to learn to do such things. Therefore they are to be lamented and pitied, rather than condemned, and their mother made to bear the blame. Wherefore it follows, quote, she was plucked up in fury, she was cast down to the ground, and the east wind dried up her fruit, her strong rods were broken and withered, the fire consumed them. And now she is planted in the wilderness, in the provinces of Babylon, in a dry and thirsty ground. And fire is gone out of a rod of her branches, which have devoured her fruit, so that he hath no strong rod to be a scepter to rule. This is a lamentation, and shall be for a lamentation. Close quote. Ezekiel chapter 19, verses 12 through 14. Sixth cause. Sixthly, Antichrist must be destroyed because of her exceeding covetousness. Religion, such as it is the thing pretended to. But the great things of this world are the things really intended by her in all her seeming self-denials and devotions. And for this covetousness, also it is that this destruction is to fall upon her. Quote, woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, to his church, that he may set his nest on high, close quote. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 9. For he could not do the one before he had obtained the other. For then indeed they began to be high when they had so inveigled Constantine, that he bestowed upon them much riches and honor. And then it was cried by an angel, and the cry was heard in the city, Constantinople, quote, woe, woe, woe. This day is venom poured into the Church of God, close quote. As both my Lord Cobham and Mr. Fox witness in the Book of Acts and Monuments. Nor has any generation since the world began been so insatiably greedy of gain as these poor people have been. They have gotten kingdoms. They have gotten crowns. They have gotten. What have they not gotten? They have gotten everything but grace and pardon. Did I say before that religion is their pretense? Doth not the whole course of their way declare it to their face? Every one of them, from the least even to the greatest, is given to covetousness. From the prophet even to the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 13. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 10. Money, money, as the peddler cries, broken or whole, is the sinews of their religion. And it is for that they set kingdoms, crowns, principalities, places, preferments, sacraments, pardons, prayers, indulgences, liberty, yea, and souls and bodies of men, women, and children, to sale. Yea, it is for this that they have invented so many places, offices, names, titles, orders, vows, etc. It is to get money, to rob countries, that they may make their nests on high. And indeed, they have done it, to the amazement of all the world. They are clamored up above kings and princes and emperors. They wear the triple crown. They have made kings bow at their feet, and emperors stand barefoot at their gates. They have kicked the crowns of princes from their heads and set them on again with their toes. Thus their covetousness has set them on high, even above the suns, moons, and stars of this world. But to what end? that they may be cast down to hell. Seventh cause. Seventhly, Antichrist must be destroyed, because he standeth in the way of setting up of the kingdom of Christ in the world. Many princes were in Edom, E-D-O-M, or Esau. Many princes were in Edom before there was a king in Israel. And Christ has allowed Antichrist to set up before him. And he standeth in his way, and has so overspread the world in all places with that which is directly contrary to him, that he cannot set up his kingdom until that which is Antichrist's is tumbled down to the ground, even as a man whose ground is full of thorns and briars and weeds cannot sow in expectation of a crop until he hath removed them. And these seeds has Antichrist sown, where the kingdom of Christ should stand. Quote, upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars, yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city, because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left, the forts and towers shall be for dens forever, a joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks. That is, this is to happen to the church of God. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest, close quote. Isaiah chapter 32, verses 13 through 15. And the anti-Christian synagogue be turned into a wilderness. When God came from Egypt with his people to set up his kingdom in Canaan, he cast out the heathen before them in order thereunto. Quote, thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Close quote. Psalm 80, verse 8. Wherefore, Antichrist must be removed and destroyed for this. For Antichrist is in flat opposition to Christ, as Tibni was to Omri, 1 Kings chapter 16, verses 21 and 22. Wherefore, Antichrist must die. The reason is because Christ's kingdom shall be peaceable, without molestation, and glorious, without the fumes and fogs of Antichristian darkness. Because also, as the world hath seen the manner of the reign of Antichrist, how tyrannical and outrageous a kingdom his is, so shall they see the reign of Christ by his word and spirit in his people, how peaceable, how fruitful in blessedness and prosperity his kingdom is. And hence it is that God purposeth to bury Antichrist before he sets, quote, glory in the land of the living, close quote. Ezekiel chapter 26, verses 20 and 21. As also you read in the book of Revelations, for there you find the kingdom of Antichrist was destroyed before the New Jerusalem was set up. When men intend to build a new house, if in the place where the old one stood, they first pull down the old one and raise the foundation, and then they begin their new. Now God, as I said, will have his primitive church state set up in this world, even where Antichrist has set up his. Wherefore, in order to this, Antichrist must be pulled down stick and stone, and then they that live to see it will behold the new Jerusalem come down from heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. New wine is not put into old bottles, nor a new piece into an old garment. Nor shall any of the old anti-scriptural ordinances, ceremonies, rites, or vessels of the man of sin be made use of, or accounted anything worthy, in this day of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. and thus I have showed you something of Antichrist, of his ruin, and of the manner and the signs of the approach thereof, together with the means and causes of his ruin. All which I leave to the judgment of the godly, and beg their instruction where they see me to be out of order, and shall conclude after a short word of application. First, must Antichrist be destroyed? Then this informs us that a time is coming wherein there shall be no Antichrist to afflict God's church any more. Quote, "'Tis Antichrist, Antichristians, and Antichristianism that is the cause of the troubles of Christians for being Christians. And therefore, quote, "'tis from the consideration of this that it is said, men shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and that they shall learn war no more." Close quote. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. "Yea, it is from the consideration of this that it is said, the child shall play with the venomous and destroying beasts, and that a little child shall lead the wolf, the leopard, and the young lion, and that the weaned child, or the weaned child, shall put his hand into the cockatrices or snake's den, and catch no hurt thereby." Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 9. For as was said before, quote, "'Tis through the instigation of this spirit of error that the governors of the world have heretofore done hurt to Zion. And I say now again, all things shall turn to their right course and occupy their places, as do the bodies and the higher orbs." Close quote. Secondly, is Antichrist to be destroyed? And must she have an end? Then this gives us to understand that a day is coming when Antichrist shall be unknown, not seen nor felt by the Church of God. There are men to be born who shall not know Antichrist, but as they read in the Word that such a thing has been. These shall talk of her as Israel's children's children were to talk of Pharaoh, of his cruelty, of his tasks, of his pride, of the Red Sea and how he was drowned there. They shall talk of them as of those that have been long dead, as of those who for their horrible wickedness are laid in the pit's mouth. This will be some of that sweet chat that the saints shall, at their spare hours, have in time to come. When God has pulled this dragon out of the sea, this Leviathan out of his river, and cast his dead carcass upon the open field, then shall those whose ancestors have been put into terrors by him come flocking to see the monster, and shall rejoice for all the mercy. And that day the Church of God shall say, quote, "O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me." And that day ye shall say, "Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people," close quote, etc. Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 and 4. Oh, how sweetly did David and the church in his day sing of the ruins of the Egyptians, the deliverances of their fathers, which had been in times of old, Psalm 68, to wit, what God did in Egypt, and what he did at the Red Sea, what he did to Sihon, to Og, and to the remnant of the giants, how he divided the waters of the Jordan and gave the land of Canaan and its fruitfulness among his people. That's Psalm 105. How that though Pharaoh and his horsemen and chariots were terrible then, yet now there is nothing left but their souls, their feet, and the palms of their hands. Nothing but that which can do no hurt. Nothing but what may minister an occasion of joyful remembrance of them. Psalm 106 and 132. Thirdly, is Antichrist to be destroyed? Well, then this calls aloud to God's people to make haste to come out of her. Quote, "Ho! Ho! close quote, says the prophet. He cries out as if the people were asleep, quote, come forth and flee from the land of the north, close quote. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 6. The people of God in the latter days will want a heart to come out of her with that fear of her plagues, as they should. Wherefore another says, quote, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues, close quote. Revelation chapter 18, verse 4. When Israel was carried into Babylon, quote, twas not that they should dwell there forever, though they were bid to build them houses and beget them children there. But when they had built, planted vineyards, and got wives and children there, 'twas hard getting them from thence again. For now they were, as it were, naturalized to the country, and in the manners of it. Close quote, Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 4 through 7. But God will have them out, but they must not think to carry thence their houses and vineyards on their backs. Or he will destroy them with those destructions wherewith he hath threatened to destroy Babylon itself. Flesh will hang behind, because it favoreth the things of the flesh, plenty of which there is in that country. But they that will live after the flesh must die. Quote, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty, close quote. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. But why, some may say, why must we come out? Well, I answer, because God has temple work to do, temple worship to do, temple sacrifices to offer. And none of these things can by any means be done but at Jerusalem. But if you still object and say, the Lord hath raised us up prophets in Babylon, and we will not come out, you must not murmur if you feel what is to follow. And that such may know upon what bottom they stand, let them read the 29th chapter of Jeremiah, verses 15 through 19. Fourthly, must Antichrist be destroyed? Then what mean they, who were to appearance once come out, but now are going thither again? If it cost Lot's dear wife, or if it cost Lot's wife dear for but looking back, shall not it cost them much dearer that are going back, that are gone back again, and that after the angel had fled through the midst of heaven, preaching the gospel to those that dwell upon the earth? Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 through 10. They that received the mark of the beast at first, before this angel came forth, are when compared with these, excusable. Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 and 17. Wherefore, they are not threatened with that smoking wrath, as are these which are here under consideration. You dread that which is like to become of them that will be so mad to run into an house when fire is putting to the gunpowder barrel in order to its blowing up. Why thus do they, let their pretended cause be what it will, that are returning again to Babel? Are her plagues pleasant or easy to be borne? Or dost thou think that God is at play with thee, and that he threateneth but in jest? Her plagues are death, and mourning, and famine, and fire. Revelation chapter 18, verse 8. And these things, or are these things to be overlooked? And they that, as before is hinted, shall receive the mark of the beast in their forehead, or in their hand, and shall worship him. They, quote, shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, close quote. Revelation chapter 14, verse 10. And will this be a delightsome drought? Remember how ill God took it, that his people of old, in their hearts, though but in their hearts, went back again into Egypt. You may say, but I have friends, relations, and concerns in Babylon. And I answer, and so had Lot and Sodom. Genesis chapter 19, verses 14 through 16. But for all that, he must either quickly come out or run the hazard of being burned there with them. But methinks the people that belong to God should be willing to leave all to follow him. Besides, his presence is promised to Jerusalem. There also will he accept thy offerings. Fifthly, is Antichrist to be destroyed? Then let them that love God, his Son, and his Zion, or his church, cry out to God, that it may be hastened in its time. One of the songs of Zion is that Babylon shall be destroyed. The cries of the souls of them that were slain for the witness of Jesus is that Babylon may be counted with, and that their blood may be revenged upon her. The promise is that Babylon shall be destroyed. And do we hold our tongues? The church of God will not flourish as it should until Babylon is destroyed. The world will never be in its right wits until Babylon is destroyed. The kingdom of Christ will never be set up in and by his church as it ought and shall until Antichrist is destroyed. There will never be peace upon earth till Antichrist is destroyed. And God has promised that there shall be peace and truth and glory when Babylon is destroyed. And do we hold our peace? Besides, your innocency and suffering, your honesty towards God, in your testimony for his truth, the substantial ground which you have for the bottom of your faith as to things controverted between Antichrist and you will never be manifested as it will then. And so, consequently, you never so brought out to the light, and your enemies are never so put to shame as then. Quote, then shame shall cover her that said unto thee, where is the Lord thy God? Close quote. Wherefore, as I said, cry unto the Lord. Keep not silent. Give him no rest. Let him not alone until he has delivered his miserable people out of the mouth of this lion and from the paw of this bear. Sixthly, is Antichrist to be destroyed? Then let us live in the expectation of it. And let this be one of our songs in the house of our pilgrimage. God bids his people, while in Babylon, to let Jerusalem come into their mind. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 50. And writes to them that then were in her, to acquaint them that he remembered them still, and would assuredly deliver them from that place and state. And wherefore doth he thus? But to beget an expectation in them of their salvation and deliverance. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 13 and 14. The Lord is so pleased with the faith and expectation of his people as to this, that they seldom are herein concerned as they should, but he steps in with them and warms their hearts. The reason is because the faith of God's people as to the downfall of Babylon stands upon as a sure a foundation as to the salvation of their souls. And the next to that, God is as much delighted in what he has purposed to do against Babylon as he is in anything else in the earth. And therefore, if you consider it well, the great and glorious promises that are to be fulfilled on earth are to be fulfilled when Antichrist is dead and buried. These bits are too good even for his children to have, so long as this dog is by, lest he should snatch at the crumbs thereof. Wherefore they are reserved until he is gone. For thus saith the Lord, quote, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you, and perform my good word towards you, and causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Close quote. This is in Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, verses 10, 11, and in the 31st chapter. Yeah, it's quote, therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat, and for wine, and for oil, and of the young of the flock, and of the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together. For I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them, and make them rejoice from their sorrow. And I will satiate the soul of the priests with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. Close quote. It's verses 12 through 14. Again, in the 32nd chapter, still speaking of the same thing, he saith, quote, yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good. And I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. Close quote. That's verse 41. I conclude this with that which I find in the 33rd chapter. Quote, and I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them. And they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness, and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. Close quote. And that's verse 8 and 9. Seventhly, must Antichrist be destroyed? And this should make us glad when we see the signs of his fall presenting themselves to our view. Indeed, the signs of his fall, or even those that forerun it, are terrible and amazing to behold. But what of that, since the wrinkles that are in their faces threaten not us, but them? A man is angry and will punish, yea, and whets his sword, makes his rod, and he speaks not a word, but blood. Blood is in it. Indeed, this should make them that are concerned in this anger to be afraid. But the judgment is, they are fast asleep. But what is in all this of terror to them for the pleading whose cause he is so angry with the other? Nothing whereat the innocent should be afraid. Cold blasts in November are not received with that gentleness as are colder in March and April, for that these last cold ones are but the farewell notes of a piercing winter. They also bring with them the signs and tokens of a comfortable summer. Why, the church is now at the rising of the year. Let then the blasts at present or to come be what they will. Antichrist is assuredly drawing towards his downfall. And though the devil, knowing what is to be done to him and to his kingdom, shall so blind his disciples, frighten the godly, do something like it upon the church of Christ, yet we should look through these paper wrinklers and espy in all this that fear, yea, certain terrible judgments are following of him at the heels, by which not only the soul, spirit, and life of Antichrist, but the body thereof, yea, body and soul and head, are quickly to go down thither, from whence they, as such, shall never arise again. Amen. And that's the end of the book.